In the fifth chapter of Isaiah and verse 18, sin is likened to a wagon. And that which connects us to sin is likened to a cobweb and then a cart rope. One day a person dabbles with a sin. He intends to break it. He does not intend to make it a habit. He does not intend to live in sin, but rather to pass through or sojourn. He does not intend to dwell there. He intends to take a vacation there for a season. And so that which holds him to the sin is no stronger than a cobweb. Easy to break. Only one time you've committed a certain sin. You know, everybody knows, it's easy to break it. You look at the thing that holds you to that sin and say, boy, I can clip that easily. I can just break it like that. It's a cobweb. But you don't. And then you have two cobwebs. And then before you know it, it gets a little bigger. You don't break it. And bigger. And finally, one day you say, it's about time I quit this sin. I've been intending to quit. It's time I turn my back on this sin. And you say, I'm going to break it now. Where's that cobweb? Where's that cobweb? Where's that cobweb that's been holding me to sin? Oh my. It's no cobweb any longer. It's a rope. And I can't break it. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, that's why the first time you commit a sin, you ought to forsake it. People often say, sometimes a Pharisee will say, I don't see a need in all these people coming down the aisle on Sunday night, kneeling on the altar, Sunday night after Sunday night. And I know it's obvious from your attitude you haven't been doing it. You know why it's a good idea? If the preacher preaches on a sin that you've been committing, or the preacher alerts you to something that you where you need to improve, why it's a good idea to make a break now. Why? Well, it's a cobweb, break it. Don't wait till it becomes a rope. Break it while it's a cobweb. And the writer says, woe to that person that looks and says, I've committed a sin. I'm in a certain sin. I can break it. It's like a cobweb. It's no problem at all. But before you know it, that sin gets bigger. And in order to pull that sin, you have to have a bigger rope. And the sin gets bigger, and you get a bigger rope. And the sin gets bigger, and you get a bigger rope. Till finally you come to a day when you say, okay, I'll quit my smoking now, but you can't. I'll quit my necking and petting now, but you can't. I'll quit my liquor now, but you can't. I'll quit my gossip now, but you can't. I'll quit my cursing now, but you can't. What's happened? What's happened? That young girl's back here in the back. I want you to listen to me. All you young folks, listen to me. Put your stuff up and listen to me while I'm preaching. I want you to know every word I say. One of these days, you're going to be bound by some awful sin that'll have you like a rope, and it'll tie you to sin like a rope. And you'll wish that some Sunday night you'd have sat up and heard what the preacher had to say while it was only a cobweb. That's why I make the kids listen. And by the way, as long as I'm behind this pulpit, I intend to keep on making the kids listen. You know why? Because while sin is a cobweb, while it can be broken, I want to plead with the young people and plead with the older people alike to break the bands of sin while they're just as weak as cobwebs. And so you look one day and you find that that which you used to could have broken just like this. You think you're still pulling sin by a cobweb, but you're not. It's a cart rope. Look at the painted face in the Calumet City Tavern. Sometimes I'm driving make a call or something, or going to see my mother or something. I'll drive down State Line, or I'll drive down a State Street and through the Calumet City old strip road over there. And I'll see girls or young women walking down, obviously employed by those places. And I look at their painted faces and their bodies placed on exhibit like they were in the county fair somewhere, or hogs in a hog judging contest. Look at their hairstyles. Look at their harlotry being advertised. And by the way, that's one reason why people wear indecent clothing. They have something to advertise. If you don't have the merchandise, quit advertising it. And so I look at those Poor girls, they think they're pretty, but no decent young man thinks they're pretty. It's all a painted on kind of a harlotry beauty that appeals to the lustful nature of weak and wicked and sinful minds. Look at that painted face in the Calumet City Tavern. There was a day when some mother gave birth to a precious baby girl with dreams and hopes and maybe even prayers. And there was the feeding, the careful feeding, and the rocking at night, and the tender caressing and loving. Every one of those women, girls over in these taverns, these call girls and go-go girls, at one time, they were the object of some mother's love and some father's pride. But there came a time in their lives when one night the wicked and lustful hands of a careless boy were placed on her body. There came a night when she yielded the first time because she wanted to be popular and everybody else is doing it. It was only a cobweb. It was not a rope. Just a cobweb. I can quit anytime I want to quit. But there was the second time, and there was the third, and there was the second boy, and there was the third. Till finally one day that precious girl who one day was the object of a mother's love and care and concern had sold herself so far into sin, the cobweb that once held her to the cart of sin is now a rope. And now, try though she may, she can't get away. I know what I'm talking about. I've had them come to my office. I've had the women and girls from the Calumet City strip row come to my office. I've had them put their heads on my desk, and I've had them weep and sob in their bodies and they tremble. And they say, I can't give it up. I can't. I'm too far gone. I can't. What happened? That little cobweb that you played with one night on a dark road when some dirty young man who said he loved you but didn't put his wicked hands on your body and stole from you that which is holy and virtuous and right. That cobweb that you hooked on to the cart of sin that night has now become a cart rope. And that young girl over there in Calumet City who once was a pure, sweet young lady, now it's a fallen woman giving her body to the wicked hands of men who will pay for her services. Why? Because she carried sin by a cobweb, and that cobweb became a cart rope, and now she can't break it. Look at the addict stealing to buy more narcotics. Look at the fellow who carefully creeps up to the house of someone who's not at home. With a trade that he's learned, he opens the door, goes in the house, and with hands that are trembling, takes the television set, or a radio, or some jewelry, with trembling hands and a hungry body, hungering for dope, narcotics, and that which can ease his, satisfy his hunger and lust. He takes that which is not his and steals outside the house, and policemen come, take the fingerprints and try to find who it is. See the covetous hands of that young man. Those hands were once hands that touched the face of a loving mother. Those hands were once the hands that held the big hand of a daddy who loved him and cared for him. What happened? One night some dirty man out of hell itself tried to sell some high school boy a bit of marijuana or a bit of dope. And let me tell you something. That fellow who will try to sell you or give to you that which will take away your senses and dull your mind and wreck your body, he's a big Satan helper and an aid of hell. That's what he is. Don't you listen to him. He's not a regular guy. He creeps up to you, and then what you did, you didn't want to say no. I'm sick and tired of folks saying, well, everybody else is doing it. Well, that doesn't make one whit of difference, my brother. Everybody else does it. You're not supposed to do that which is wrong, and you're supposed to do that which is right. I don't care if the whole world does it. In God's name, be decent and be right and be what God wants you to be. And so you reached out and you took one little puff on that little marijuana cigarette. What happened? You had a cord, a cobweb between holding you to sin. No problem. You can quit. But there was a second time. And so the cobweb got bigger. The third time, the cobweb was bigger and bigger and bigger. Till finally one day you said, I've got to quit this thing. It's getting hold of me. Okay, cobweb, I'll break you. But it wouldn't break. Because it's no longer a cobweb. It's a cart rope now. And you're so bound to the sin of narcotics, you've got to have it. You'll steal to get it. I'm simply saying those young boys that break in houses and steal and break in banks and steal and rob people and take their money to get dope. One time they weren't bound by a cart rope, they were bound by a cobweb. If they'd have come to a church like this some Sunday night when the preacher preached like I'm preaching tonight and came down the aisle and broken that sin and broken that bind of sin while it was a cobweb, they wouldn't be slaves to a cart rope tonight. Look at the wino stumbling into the rescue mission. Nothing quite so sad to me as these good men, and I mean in many cases they are good men who come to our mission. I'm thinking now of one of our men. He's here tonight, I'm sure. He's one of the nicest men you'd want to know. He's done as much for our church as most anybody. But he's bound to wine by a cart rope. Look at the man who weaves his way, seeing two sidewalks instead of one, two doorknobs instead of one, two rescue mission superintendents instead of one, who comes in a rescue mission and staggers in and has to have some wine. I've had them knock on my door, mission men knock on my door and say, "Preacher, let me have a dollar. Let me have a dollar. Preacher, I've got to have a dollar." And I'll say, "What's it for?" "I'm trying to taper off of a drunk. I've got to have just a little bit. I'm going to taper off a drunk." And I'll say, "If you lie in the floor and kick and scream and waller and froth at the mouth and vomit on the floor, you will not get $1 for me to buy whiskey or wine with." Not one. But see those men bound by cart rope, bound by sin. No way to sever it, it seems. Hasn't always been that way. There was a time when some wicked school teacher said, "Come on, take a drink and be one of the gang. Hell won't be too hot for that kind of school teacher." A little cobweb bound them to the cart of sin. "I can quit anytime I want to quit." Well, if you can, you better quit while you can quit and while it's a cobweb. There was a time when those were men who had dreams. I've talked to them. I've talked to many of them who had dreams of the future. One of these rescue mission men whose life has been wrecked by sin and who's a good man now, by the way, still tempted and sometimes yields. I talked to him the other day, and to my complete surprise, he was the captain of the basketball team at Hammond High School. One of the most popular boys in the Hammond High School years ago. On the baseball team. One of the outstanding athletes. What happened? One day one of the guys on the team thought it was being a man to offer him a drink, maybe. No real man can. Hey, brother, you're not a man if you yield to temptations and yield to passions and he wanted to be a man. What happened? He turned to liquor and turned to wine. And now that cobweb that he had as a boy, had it been broken, he could have been a free man living a decent life today. The cobweb became a cart rope. There was a time when this man right here, Harold Sullivan, who's lost an arm because of sin, who owned three taverns and less than a mile from where I'm standing right now, who stumbled into our mission several years ago and got converted and who's now director of the Hammond Rescue Mission. There was the day when he was when a mother and a father were as proud of him as your mother and father were of you. And there was the day when they had dreams and he had dreams and they had hope and he had hope. What happened? Young people, listen to me while I'm preaching. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. One day some evil temptress or tempter came and tried to sell him a bill of goods that sin was good. A little cobweb tied onto the cart of sin and tied onto Harold Sullivan. And then one day he stumbled to the rescue mission down here. That cobweb had become a cart rope. He pulled on his shoulder the weight and the load of sin, barely able to stand up and walk inside the mission. What happened? The cobweb had become a cart rope. And that's why the first little inkling you see of a sin, the first little yielding that you do, the first little time you commit it, forsake it, flee it, while it's a cobweb, the day will come when you will not be able to break it because it'll be a cart rope. Listen to the gossip. Listen to that person who sat and talked on the telephone last week and ran down people here at the church. Listen to that person who's become a habitual gossip. Hasn't always been that way. There are people here tonight in this room who once cooperated in everything that God led us to do in this place. Never criticized anybody. Never sat in judgment at all against anything that's going on for God. Cooperative, loyal, what happened? One night they got with the wrong crowd. All Christian people, but the critical crowd. The kind that nips at this and nips at that and criticizes this. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to answer to God, and so am I, for all the sitting around and criticizing we do of any living human being. God deliver us from that kind of garbage. It's as rotten as liquor, as rotten as dope. It comes from hell. There was a time when that gossip was a cooperative person. But all of a sudden you could see that person maybe going around with somebody who has a critical nature. Did you know the bus minister? And did you know the Brother Cole? And did you know Brother Howe? And the Lion? Did you know the youth man? Did you know Brother Fisk? And, the rescue mission? And the college? Before you know it, this little critic and this little critic. And listen, listen to me. I beg you in God's name, while it's a cobweb, break it. Amen. One of these days you'll be a cynical critic is what you'll be. And you're not hurting anybody but yourself. You hurt anybody but yourself. In the name of Jesus Christ, for your own sake, not for mine, I couldn't care less. For your sake. Quit it. Break it. Well, it's a cobweb. Amen. You say, how about my friends? Don't run around with a critical crowd. You know who you are. I don't know, but you know. For the sake of your own spiritual growth, for the sake of souls, for the sake of the work of God, in God's name. Well, it's a cobweb. Break it. Look at the extortioner being led with handcuffs to the prison cell. Look at his eyes. A certain kind of a look he has out of his eyes. A look of deceit. A look of cheating. A look of extortion. Look at him as he follows with his hands cuffed to the law. And as he goes toward the prison, look at him. He hasn't always been held by cart ropes. There was a time when he just cheated on a test at school, and his dishonesty was a cobweb. There was a time when he just flipped for who'd pay for the cokes, and his dishonesty was a cobweb. There was a time when all he did was cheat on his income tax, and his dishonesty was a cobweb. There was a time when all he did was rob God when the offering plates were passed, and his dishonesty was a cobweb. But look, listen, the Watergate men, they didn't all of a sudden become guilty of these crimes they've committed. They're bound by a rope tonight, but it hasn't always been that way. If some preacher had stood up and preached to those dear men, many of them, I think, who've been mistreated, and many who are getting what they deserve, but if some preacher stood up back yonder and said, don't cheat on tests, and they could have broken that dishonest attitude and mind and heart while it was a cobweb, they wouldn't be in prison tonight. Look at the foul, listen to the foul-mouthed person profaning God's name. Listen to his dirty jokes. The other day a man called on the telephone to the church office and I talked to him. He told me about a man who holds an office in this church. He's on the deacon board. I hope it's not true. Who on the job has a mouth that is as foul as hell itself. Let me tell you something. If you're going to curse anywhere and you're on the deacon board in God's name, get right or get off one or the other. Amen. The idea of carrying a deacon name, a deacon of a Baptist church, and cursing and telling filthy, dirty, smutty stories, that's not what God intended for deacons to be when he said men who are of good report and filled with the Spirit of God. But that man who profanes God's name and is bound to lust and bound to dirty stories and bound to cursing, the foul-mouthed man, hasn't always been that way. If one day when he said, gee whiz, if some preacher had preached the next Sunday night while it was a cobweb, he'd come down and gotten right with God, he'd never profaned God's name with his mouth. If some preacher stood up and warned him the first time he ever read a Playboy magazine or looked at a dirty Playboy calendar, if some preacher had stood up and said, flee that kind of garbage, run from it, turn from it, while it was a cobweb, he wouldn't be bound with the cords of a foul mouth tonight. Oh, let me tell you, my friends, listen to me. When that sin first places its ugly fang in you, and all of a sudden you feel the awful conviction of I've done wrong, I've sinned, that first time in God's name, that's the time to break the cord while it's a cobweb and not a cart rope. Look at the backslider. Look at the backslider. Didn't happen all of a sudden. You missed one Wednesday night, didn't you? And by the way, watch it, ladies and gentlemen. It's hot.
It's summertime. It's easier to backslide. It's easier to get the cobweb started in the summertime than any other time. More people gossip in the summertime than any other time. More people get mad in the summertime than any other time. It's 10 times as hard to pastor a church in the summertime as it is any other time. Let me say, watch it. Watch it. Watch it. If you see the least little bit of a critical tongue, come to the altar, get on your knees, and break it while it's a cobweb. If you have a desire to stay home on some Wednesday night because the World Football League televises a game or has a game on Wednesday night, quick as you can, if you do it one time, you break it while it's a cobweb and get back down to church on Wednesday night. The backslider didn't happen all of a sudden. It was once a cobweb. I'll be gone one Wednesday night. Or on vacation, I'll not go to church. Well, let's say I have 99 and a half fever. I'll stay home on Sunday night. And then another Wednesday night. And another. And another. And another. And a Sunday night. And another. And another. And another. And a Sunday morning. After a while, you're a full-blown backslider and a full-grown backslider, bound to backsliding by a cart and not a cobweb. For 15 years, I've been standing behind this pulpit or the one over next door. For 15 years on Sunday night, I've been trying to warn you of the sins that you committed as soon as I see the least little sign of them. I've examined this church like a diagnostician at a hospital. I've taken God's spiritual stethoscope and placed it on your hearts. I've taken your spiritual temperature for 15 years. And I've done as best I can every Sunday night to warn our church about any sin that I see creeping in, any burden or problem I see that might cause us heartache in the future. And when you, soon as the Holy Spirit comes along to you and says you've done so and so wrong, break it while it's a cobweb. It is the cobweb of one criticism that makes the cart rope of a critic. It is the cobweb of one drink that makes the cart rope of an alcoholic. It's the cobweb of one parked car that makes the cart rope of an immoral person. It is the cobweb of one cigarette that makes the cart rope of a nicotine addict. It is the cobweb of one little white lie that makes the cart rope of a big liar. It is the cobweb of one gossip that makes the cart rope of a gossiper. It is that cobweb of one little sin that wiggles its way like a worm inside the heart that one day causes it to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Till one day you're so bound by sin, only God Himself in the power of the Holy Spirit can break that which ties you to your sin. Don't play with a cobra, even if it's only a foot long. Keep from the edge of the precipice. Don't get close, even cobweb close, to sin. Young people, that boy that you want to go with tonight who's not what he ought to be, whom you hope that you can change so you can marry him someday, it'll only be a cobweb now, but you'll be bound by a cart rope one of these days in a life of sin, unhappiness, and misery, and sorrow. It looks bright now because it's only a cobweb, but it'll become a cart rope. How does it happen? Let me give you a few steps. In the first place, the load is light at first. A cobweb is all you need to pull the load of sin because sin is fun and it's light. No real burden. Here's sin. You latch yourself onto some sin. It's fun to pull. Little cobweb can pull it. It's not a heavy burden at first. Sin's always that way. I've said this time and time again. I'll say it again tonight. The best day you ever spend in the world is the first day. Gets worse every day. And the worst day you'll ever spend for Jesus is the first day. It gets better every day. And so what happens? That's why, as I say again, that's why you ought to walk the aisle. That's why, when all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, this is wrong, get on your knees at the altar. Ask God to forgive you and break it while it's a cobweb. But there's a second step. The weight increases. And as the weight of the load of sin increases, so does the necessity of increasing the size of the rope. Till finally, that sin that you pulled so lightly and so glibly with so much fun and so much grace and delight and thrill with a cobweb because it was no burden whatsoever. That sin got heavier and heavier and heavier. And to keep you tied to that sin, you had to get you a cart rope. The sin's that way. It gets heavier, heavier, and heavier, and heavier. If you just knew that the gossip listened for the first time and the fallen woman gave her body for the first time, and the alcoholic took a drink for the first time. But not only is it true that the weight increases, but the road gets worse, and the ruts get deeper, and the hills get steeper the longer you pull the cart of sin. When I was a kid, there was a hill in our neighborhood called Thomas Hill. Thomas Hill, we used to have a Willys car. Anybody ever have a Willys car? Willys started making Jeeps the first time. How many ever had a Willys car? W-I-L-L-Y apostrophe S. Can you recall what was characteristic about those Willys cars? Somebody tell me out loud. What'd they do? Come on, you guess the folks are older than I am. If you're not, you sure are in bad shape. The clutch slipped. The clutch slipped on a Willys car. What does that mean? That means when you push on accelerator, it's going, it wouldn't catch. The clutch wouldn't catch, and you wouldn't go. And I can recall my dad coming down one side of Thomas Hill, trying to get enough speed going down one side of Thomas Hill so he could go up the other side of Thomas Hill. I can recall my dad saying, son, we're not going to make it this time. We got almost the top of Thomas Hill, but the clutch was slipping. We couldn't go any further. So we had to back down Thomas Hill. We had to back down Thomas Hill fast enough so we could back up the other side of Thomas Hill high enough so we could come back down the other side of Thomas Hill fast enough so we could climb the other side of Thomas Hill and get up on top of the hill. My dad said, son, you'd have to get out of the car. In fact, he'd say, son, take the spare out of the back end of the car and roll it up the hill because with you in the car, we can't make it up Thomas Hill. I recall one day I used to play around Thomas Hill a lot. It was down close to the Marcellus Park Zoo. And that's where I met Brother Vineyard. And I was playing down around the zoo, and I was riding a bicycle up Thomas Hill, and I saw something that was a sight. I saw some horses that were carrying a load coming down Thomas Hill. And all of a sudden, the load of the horses got so heavy that the wagon ran over the horses. And the horses were literally tumbling down the hill because they were going down Thomas Hill, an amazingly steep hill. And we don't have any hills like that in this area. An amazingly steep hill. And the horses were going so fast, and the load got so heavy, and the cart behind them got so heavy, it rolled over the horses, and the horses and the cart rolling. And that's what sin does. You pull it, and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Then you start downhill. You think you're going uphill, but you start downhill, and you go faster and faster and faster till finally it'll catch up with you, and it'll destroy you. While you're just starting it, break it. What, it's a cobweb. I'm talking to folks tonight. If you don't break some habit you've got tonight, it's going to be a cart rope, and you're going to find yourself bound by sin so you cannot break it one of these days. The road gets worse. The ruts get deeper. The hills get steeper, and you have rough days ahead. What is your sin tonight? What's that sin you've just begun tonight? I'm talking to a young couple tonight, been hiding in the hallways over here, in the dark recesses of the hallways, hiding from the preacher, hiding from your parents, doing things you know are wrong. Break it while it's a cobweb. I'm talking to young people who've been talking back to parents, telling your mother to shut up or your father to be quiet. Being disobedient. It's a cobweb tonight. It'll be rebellion against all authority after a while. It'll be a cart rope. Break it while it's a cobweb. I'm talking to some young man tonight who just begun to smoke. Quit it! Quit it! Quit it! Quit it! While it's a cobweb. It'll be a cart rope after a while. I'm talking to some two or three young ladies who said to me this week, I'm tired of being good. I'm tired of being good. And sometimes a young lady, maybe who's not gifted with as much natural beauty as some others, will decide that the only way she can get a boyfriend or get a husband is to sell out and be bad. You will live in hell on earth with that kind of a man. He's not worth the trouble it'd take you to get him. And one of these days, that cobweb that's tempted you tonight to sell out your virtue and sell out your decency and break the restraint and be a bad girl to get a husband. One of these days, it'll become a cart rope that'll bind you to a sin you can't give up, and your life and hope for the future are all gone. Road gets worse. The ruts get deeper. The hills get steeper. May I say this very quickly, and that is, it matters not if you have gotten to the place to where your cobweb is a cart rope. There's still a way you can break it. Now, let me say this. If it's a cobweb, you can break it yourself. You can break it yourself. But after a time, I'm talking to some folks tonight, most of you tonight have cobwebs tying you to sin. Most of you. You can break it yourself. I mean that. If you've only smoked one cigarette, you can quit. You have to ask God to help you. Quit yourself. Don't bother God. He's too busy helping the alcoholics. You go ahead and quit yourself. Bible says, forsake your sin. If you've only had one drink, quit it. So what shall I do? Get in the refrigerator and get the beer out of the refrigerator and go outside and find your big rock and break it. Quit it. If you're flirting with some sin tonight, it does not yet have you as its addict. Quit it, forsake it, but wait a minute. Maybe tonight there's some of you in this building. It's too late for you. It's already a cart rope. I'm thinking about a man in this room tonight. I love him like I love my own brother. I could say a son. He's almost young enough to be my son. He looks old enough to be my brother or my father. I love him very much. There was a day when he took something that was a little cobweb. Tonight it's a cart rope. It's got him bound. I love him very much. I've counseled with him very much. I weep when I see him. If tonight it's that way for you, I'm thinking about a couple in this room tonight that I know are bound by narcotics. A cart rope. I'm thinking of some I started to say men. I don't know what to call them. I'm thinking about some homosexuals right now who come to this church regularly, hear me preach regularly, who are bound. It's a cart rope. Let me pause to say this. The first time, you little boys tonight, and you young boys, the first time some fella comes up and wants to do things to you sexually, I mean the least little bit, forgive me for saying it rather crudely, but knock the fire out of him. Amen. And if there's some young boy tonight in this room who's committed some wrong just a time or two with some other boy, break it while it's a cobweb. It'll be a cart rope one of these days. There are folks in this room tonight whose cobweb is a cart rope. There are folks in this room tonight who are alcoholics. It once was a cobweb. It's now a cart rope. There are folks in this room tonight who are dope addicts. It once was a cobweb. It's now a cart rope. There are folks in this room tonight who are gossipaholics. I mean, it's as much of them as for a bird to fly or a fish to swim. Gossip and criticism is in their bones. It was a cobweb. It's now a cart rope. There are folks in this room tonight who lust. There's a young man in this room tonight. He and I know it. He has to go, he says, to X-rated movies. He has to see illicit sex given on a screen. It's a cart rope. It's a cart rope. Used to be a cobweb. Now it's a cart rope. I spent most of my time tonight warning you folks who have cobwebs binding you to the cart of sin, but let me just say to those of you perchance who are bound by cart rope to sin, though you cannot yourself break that cart rope, thank God there's a way it can be broken. And that way is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit gives you the victory in your life. It can be broken. It can be. Years ago, when the horses pulled most of the loads, remember the days when the ice cream man came in a cart pulled by a horse? Some of you young folks don't remember this. Some of us recall when the milkman came in a horse pulled by, I mean a horse, in a cart pulled by a horse. How many recall when the milkman came in a cart pulled by a horse? And the ice cream man, sure you do. There was an old horse back in those days. They never took him out of his harness. He stayed in his harness all the time. He got older and older, and they never took him out of his harness. Because they were afraid if they ever took him out of his harness, he'd fall to pieces. Somebody asked them one time, said, why don't you take the horse out of his harness? And they said, we're afraid he'll fall to pieces. Take him out of his harness. Sin's that way. If I didn't go down to the red light district every once in a while, says one, I'd fall apart. If I didn't have my liquor every day, I'd fall apart. If I didn't have my cigarette, I'd have a nervous breakdown. If I didn't take my dope, I'd fall apart. You'd be surprised, dear friends, if you'd ever get out of that harness. You'd find a new freedom you never knew in your life before. If you'd come to Him who is the only power in this world that can deliver you and break the cart rope. When the cobweb has become a cart rope, only Jesus and the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit can break it. But thank God it can. He can, and He will, and He does. All over this room tonight, there are men who once were bound to sin by cart ropes who've come to Christ and been delivered from the power of sin. All over this room tonight, do you know there are ex-prostitutes in this room tonight who are some of the finest ladies we have in our church? How did it happen? They came in contact with the only power in this world that can break the cart rope between an individual and his sin. There are men tonight in this room who used to be pimps. I mean, there are men in this room tonight who used to go out and drum up merchandise for fallen women. And now they're respectable people, and in some cases they hold offices in this church. How did it happen? They couldn't break the cart rope themselves, but they came to Him who alone can break the cart rope that binds the sin to a sinner to his sin. Jesus delivered them. St. Augustine, after his conversion, walking down the street one day, and he met a prostitute, one with whom he had sinned, one of the fallen women whom he had paid for her vices and her loves. St. Augustine has been converted since he had seen her last. As he walked by, she said, Austin, it is I. It is I, Austin. St. Augustine kept on marching. Austin, it is I. Austin, it is I. And St. Augustine turned around and said, but I'm not Austin anymore. I'm not Austin anymore. I realized that I was a sinner, that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sinners. I have come to Him and received Him as my Savior. I have been born again. I am a new creature. I'm not Austin anymore. And that's exactly what God offers to every person who's bound by sin. He offers deliverance through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's the invitation we throw out across this pulpit Sunday night after Sunday night and Sunday morning after Sunday morning. Two invitations. I dare you to check it. Two invitations every week. One, what? One is to the fella who's bound to his sin by a cart rope. Once was a cobweb, but now it's a cart rope. The gospel can break the bands of sin. And the other is the invitation to people who've just gone a little ways and are holding on to your sin by the thread of a cobweb. Clip it. Break it. Pull it apart. And so tonight, if you're here and some sin is about to bind you, but it's yet a cobweb, break it while you can. If it's a cart rope, come to Him who alone can break it, even Jesus. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You'll hear better sermons than you've heard tonight, but you'll never hear one that is more needed than the one you heard tonight. You'll hear sermons more eloquent, more orderly, with a better delivery But you'll never hear a subject that you need more than you the subject you've heard tonight. Beloved members of our church, don't shake it off. Don't shake it off. Face it tonight. Face it. Admit that there's a cobweb forming. I wonder how many would say tonight, Brother Hiles, it's not a rope yet. It's not a cart rope yet. But I do see a little cobweb. I do see a little cobweb. Brother Hiles, the tie is not very strong yet, but I am tied to something wrong. Maybe it's that first drink, that first cigarette. Maybe it's that first rebellion against your mother or father. Maybe it's the cheating on the test, or the listening to gossip or critical tongue. Or maybe you're going a step further than that. Maybe you said something yourself of criticism about somebody. Or maybe it's been one little pill. Or maybe it's been one little temper tantrum. You can still break it. You're only bound by a cobweb. I wonder how many would say tonight, Brother Hiles, as you've been speaking, the Holy Spirit has pointed a cobweb out to me in my life. I see something that has not yet become a cart rope, but I know it could. Thank you for reminding me tonight to break it while it's a cobweb. Pray for me. Lift your hand all over the building. All over the building. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, the saddest case in the room tonight is the person that has the cobweb but doesn't even know it. And by the way, if tonight you said, that's not me, that's not me, it's probably because it's becoming a rope already. A rope already. One of the surest signs that the cobweb is becoming a cart rope is the fact that you don't see that you're even tied to it at all. You see what I'm saying? If you can't see it, you haven't checked it lately. If you don't know it's there, you won't know it's developing. If you don't know it's there, you won't see it getting stronger. You better turn before you go too far. The load will get heavier, and the road will get rockier, and the ruts will get deeper, and the hills will get steeper. Father, I pray for these folks tonight. God bless these whose hands have been lifted. I pray tonight that cobwebs should have broken all over this room, all over this altar. Now our heads are bowed. Maybe for you it's a cart rope already. God bless you. God love you, and I love you. Maybe it's already a cart rope. I wonder how many would say tonight, Brother Hiles, there was a cobweb that came in my life, and it's a cart rope now. Pray for me. There's something got me bound. Lift your hand for prayer, would you please? All over the building? Yes. 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 Yes, God bless you. Father, bless these dear ones. These are people as good as I, as good as we. But they just didn't get to hear a sermon one night when it was a cobweb, and now it's a cart rope, and it's not easy. I pray tonight that they'll fall at the face of feet of Jesus and call on him and say, oh, God, have mercy and give me power to overcome it and break the bands of sin. In a few moments, we're going to stand and sing. Whatever you need to do, you do it. You need to come down to the altar and make some decision, you do it. You need to break a cart rope or a cobweb, you do it. But for God's sake, may I remind you this. Whatever size that rope is that ties you to sin tonight, it'll be bigger and stronger next Sunday night.